yo, fellas, check out this bat that I just made. Like, sweet piece of ash. And I'm like, I made this. I freaking made this. They're like, oh, yeah, whatever. Whatever, Goldie. Whatever. And I took one swing with it, and the barrel just flew off.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Hit Chat Chit Chat. I'm your host, Connor Reynolds, with a special guest today, Trevor Goldberg with Berg Bat. Thank you, Trevor, for coming on today. Want to get a little bit more into the idea of what bat making is and everything like that. And so to have you on, I'm really excited for. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me on. You know, bat making, everybody thinks that it's, you know, you throw a piece of wood on the lathe and, you know, bada bing, bada boom, you got a bat. It's a lot more than that. You know, so having a lot of experience in the field for the last 12 years, I've owned this company for the last 12 years. Started it in 2010 when I was 15 years old. Was playing ball at Air Academy High School here in Colorado Springs, which I'm still currently located. You know, I moved about 3 minutes away from the house that I grew up in when me and my wife Caitlin got married. So it's cool to be basically in the same neighborhood and everything like that. But I was watching the show How It's Made with my dad, and you know, a little sophomore in high school. And my dad played professionally in the Expos organization back in 1980. And I was like, Dad, I want to learn how to make bats. No prior woodworking experience. Didn't have shop class in middle school, nothing. You know, it was just something of creating something with my own hands. You know, I've always been kind of that handy guy, you know, can fix a lot of stuff. But, you know, a lathe? I didn't even know what a lathe was. You know, we're watching How It's Made, and I was like, Dad, I want to learn how to make bats. I think that'd be cool. You know, like the natural. And he goes, go find a lathe on Craigslist. Knock yourself out. He's like, I'll help you buy your first lathe. So I found a lathe on Craigslist for $250. You know, it was what I needed. It was an old school Craftsman lathe. You know, back when they were made in America, now they're made in China, you know, and went and picked it up a couple days later and sat on YouTube for about 3 or 4 days, you know, watching how do you turn, right? I didn't even know, like, that was a thing, you know, and then went into a local store here in Colorado Springs called Woodcraft, talked to a guy named George, who I still talk to this day. I walk in, I'm like, George, you're my guy. You're my guy for everything. he kind of taught me how to turn, got set up, and now here I am. Here I am. It was crazy because the first bat I ever made lasted me one swing. I was using it too. It was a travel ball game, and we were warming up on soft toss, which makes it even worse, right? I'm like, yo, fellas, check out this bat that I just made, like, sweet piece of ash. And I'm like, I made this. I freaking made this. They're like, oh, yeah, whatever. Whatever, Goldie. Whatever. And I took one swing with it, and the barrel just flew off. All right, well, maybe I should, like, rethink this entire bat thing. Or, you know, don't get too big too quick. You know, actually have a product that, you know, stays in one piece.
Hey, there we go.
The second bat I ever made lasted me about 6 to 9 swings. Barrel flew off, and I'm like, okay, that's progress.
Hey, that's progress. A 600% increase right there. That's and astounding.
The third bat I ever turned lasted me a year and a half of playing with it. You know, playing summer and fall ball up in Denver. Like I said, I was born and raised here in the Springs. It lasted me a year and a half, and you know, in the first year and a half of just turning bats, I was pretty much from independent baseball down to youth baseball, you know, just kind of here and there all the way throughout. Had a bunch of good connections, just starting out with some of my old hitting coaches and some of my former players, older guys that were in college, you know, summer college ball and everything like that. Never did I ever think that I'd be making bats for a living to you know, put food on my family's table. But here I am. So got a lot of good things coming, and, you know, and I'm just showing up to work every day and enjoying the ride. I love it. I love waking up, putting on my work clothes, and walking downstairs to my shop. So it's awesome.
Dude, awesome, for sure. That's an experience. And like you said, I mean, to start that off at 15, to go from a one swing to like six, seven, eight, nine swings to a year and a half, like that progression, absolutely wild. And I'm sure, like, how much shit did you get from the boys when you first, like, first bat takes one swing? And then...
Oh, 100%. And then, you know, I was playing for, an organization called Hate Streak at the time. And I had Robbie Bales, who is the head coach up at Mines. And then I had another coach, a really good catching guy, in my opinion, Marcus Quaid. He was also one of our coaches. And, we had a doubleheader up at, UNC Greeley. And, you know, I put, you know, two of my bats up, you know, on the fence, get ready to go. And Robbie walks by and he looks at one of mine, like he picks it up and he feels it and he goes, "Is there someone on the team that's making their own bats?" And like, I'm like getting my gear on and, you know, getting ready to go get our starting pitcher loose. And I look down, I'm like, "Robbie, that's me. Like, I'm making my own bats." And, you know, as of right now, the only fungo that Robbie's swinging is Berg bat. So it's pretty cool that I've been able to stay in touch with all these guys, you know, from my playing days. And now it's, hey, buy bats from me because, you know, I do make the world's best fungo. So,
dude, that's awesome. Like, what a transition. And then to, like, have, you know, that go from that first swing, bat breaks. And the thing is like, when you're trying something new, and like, how many times do like kids when they're like in teenagers, like pick up like random ass hobbies or whatever it is, and then like drop them the moment kind of little friction happens. And so I'm sure everybody was like, "Oh, goalie, like, nice bat, dude. Oh, you made it." And then, like you said, your third one lasted you like a year and a half. And like that, like, transition was just like how, like, what was that like mentally to, like, was it like grinding it out and like trusting? Like, I feel like there would be a lot of butterflies, like, finishing up that third bat and not knowing, like, when it's like kind of like Russian roulette.
It kind of is. You know, still to this day, you know, whenever I have a demo day, I get those exact same butterflies. You know, I'll bring in, you know, 10, 15 bats into an indoor, and guys will start hitting with them, and I'm like, "Please don't break, please don't break, please don't break." You know, but at the end of the day, wood is wood. You know, pro guys are breaking bats. The companies that are pro certified right now, their bats still break. You know, so there's not a unbreakable wood bat. You know, and I think that was the biggest thing for me to get over was it's kind of like job security. And, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, it could be a guy not able to hit. It could be a guy, you know, there's a defect that I can't see in the wood because, you know, I don't have x-ray vision. I can't see into the middle of a bat. You know, unless I cut it all up and then I don't have a bat anymore. But it
could also be like 30 degrees outside.
Temperature really doesn't make a difference.
Really?
From my standpoint, you know, a wood bat is a wood bat. A metal bat, 100%.
Okay.
The weather's going to make a difference because the actual metal changes at that point. Wood really just has a moisture content. So the moisture content is going to change if it's snowing or raining outside. But if it, here in Colorado, you know, it was 8 degrees when I woke up this morning with an inch and a half of snow on the ground. You know, but all my wood is still kiln dried. It's got 0% moisture in it. You know, you might get a little bit more in a more humid state. But you know, I can store all my wood. I will, you know, in an open garage, you know, rather than being in Florida where I have to keep them in a dehumidifier, you know, so just to keep all that moisture out of the wood. So it doesn't swell and everything like that.
Holy cow. And so how many kind of like learning little spots have you kind of gone through since doing this since you were 15, and now you're able, like you said, to throw some food on the table for the family? Like I'm sure there's been some ups and downs, some little learning points here and there. Like, has there been anything major where you've kind of like had to go, oh shit, like we might need to go this or go this route?
Not that I can remember. You know, the biggest thing is, you know, I started hand turning bats. Very time consuming process. You know, 45 minutes to an hour, and you know, getting all my measurements correct and everything like that. And you know, a billet, so 2 3/4 or 2 7/8 by 37 inches long is the stock that I use. And pretty much every other bat company uses billets. Just because the way that they're manufactured. But, you know, again, I don't have x-ray vision. So the hardest part of making bats for me, like the most disappointing for me is getting to the end of a bat and then cutting in the barrel and there's a giant knot sitting right underneath the surface that you can't see. And you're like, okay, in a sense, I wasted an hour. You know, but yeah. On the other hand, it's like throw another billet on and let's go. Let's keep going. You know, that's just kind of who I am is I'm always just going to figure out a way to go with it. You know, and like yourself and some other guys in the baseball community here in Colorado, you know, you guys have some crazy ideas, you know, crazy ideas. But it's fun for me to be the problem solver to say, hey, this is how we're going to do this. If it fails, bring it back. Let's fix it. You know, this is the way that I think that we should do it. You know, and you were just down in the shop last week and the first prototype of what we made to what we got now is drastically different, but it's always getting better, right? So it's taken me from my, you know, my first bat to my third bat, that sort of progression. And it's awesome just to work with guys like yourself to be like, hey, here's my idea. Let's go make it happen. So that's a lot of fun.
Dude, it's been an absolute pleasure being able to work with you and just like workshopping, like just something that, like, you know, just waking up one day, having an idea and like, I wonder what the possibility of that is. And being able to just call you up and just workshop and stuff like that. And you had mentioned that you're working with a lot of people here in the Colorado baseball community and stuff like that. Where all could possibly a Berg bat be found on like a shelving here in Colorado?
Absolutely. So kind of take you down the front range or take you up the front range. So my buddy's facility, Corey Voss, Pueblo Baseball Mill. I played with Corey on the Rocky Scout team when we were both in high school. And we were the two catchers on the team. And so he would always drive up to my house and then we go up to Denver. So we spent a lot of time together. You know, Corey does a lot of great things for the city of Pueblo. You can find my bats being exclusively run through his facility.
Let's go.
He won't really use anything else now, which is awesome. It's awesome for both of us. And then here in Colorado Springs, not much brick and mortar here. I'm working on that. Denver area, we got Fast with you. We have the Chaos Clubhouse with Scott Horman. We have Hit Dingers with Chris Mann. I'm up in DBAT Norco, up in Windsor. And then my biggest retailer is Shields. So it's been about 15 months since I got into Shields.
Holy cow.
I'm in the Shields here in Colorado Springs and then the Shields up in Johnstown as well.
Damn. And what was that kind of like? The process a little bit of that, is it something where you have to, for the Shields, is that something where you can't do like a bat demo day necessarily? I don't think they have cages or anything like that. So like, what was that process kind of like for you? And where was your mind at going from like, hey, I was literally making these like when I was 15 by hand and now I'm in like a retail store.
Right. So I cold called them. Right when the store here in the Springs was doing like their grand opening, I called them and I said, hey, my bats are made 10 minutes away from your store. Can you put me in touch with someone to possibly get my bats on the racks? Yeah, you know, give me your name, give me your phone number, give me your email. Great. Didn't hear back. Like, I forgot about it. And then I, like 3 months later, I get a phone call. Hey, this is so-and-so from Shields. And I was like, okay, that's weird. Why is Shields calling me? Like, I haven't stepped foot in that store yet. I was like, that's weird. Like, my wife must have put me on something.
Yeah, someone signed up for a credit card. Exactly. They put under
my dash. Like, great. And the guy was like, no, I want to talk to you about getting your bats in here. I'm like, oh, sweet. Let's do it. So that was about the beginning of September 2021, and I delivered my first shipment on October 1st, 2021.
Holy cow, a month turnaround.
Yeah. I mean, longer than I wanted it to be, but I wanted to make sure that those bats were absolutely perfect. And then shortly thereafter, the baseball guy up at the Johnstown Shields called me and he was like, Trev, I want the exact same order that you get at Colorado Springs and we're going to go move these suckers. And so Shields has been a really, really good relationship that, you know, cold called and now I'm in there, which is crazy. You know, so my advice to young business owners is don't be afraid to cold call people. You know, because what's the worst that they're going to say? No.
Hey.
You know, but you're never going to get the yes unless you take that chance for a no.
Yes, sir.
And that's really how I've kind of built all these relationships, you know, rather than playing and coaching against guys. Hey, I also own a bat company. Go swing my bat. Let's do that. It's, hey, I want to get my bats in your shop. Let's work out a deal. And, you know, 90% of the time, they're like, all right, sweet. You know, I'm in a big training facility just outside of Detroit, Michigan. It's crazy. They have over 35, 40 baseball teams, travel teams. And then they're also building up their softball program as well. Nick Swanson does a great job up there. He's with USA Prime. And, a week and a half ago, I delivered 15 bats to those guys. Yesterday I sent, 4 trainers and 2 fungos down to my guy, in Texas, Cody Kramer, a national level coach and everything like that. So my bats are being used at the highest level of, you know, high school baseball, college summer leagues, some independent guys. So I'm waiting to break into the MLB Pro approved, but no, it's a process.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Oh yeah.
With how much turnover you're starting to get into, I'm assuming you aren't turning these bad boys by hand anymore. So like, what kind of is your process into being able to make as many high quality bats like you are?
Yeah. So, I mean, really, really what it starts with is getting the right lumber. So you've heard the debate between sawn lumber and split lumber, right? Being a baseball guy. You know, there's a lot more benefit to split lumber rather than sawn lumber. Just because the machine that they use for sawn lumber, it doesn't care. They put in a blank and it goes. You know, split lumber is all done by hand from a company out in New York. They are the biggest billet manufacturers, at least in the country. I mean, all the big guys are using them. All the big companies are using them. You know, so that's where I get my wood. I bring it in by the pallet. And then I weigh and sort everything, you know, and what's going to be more of a training bat, what's going to be my top end gamers, my lighter ones for my fungos, everything like that. You know, ink dot test every billet when they come in. So I know it kind of along the same lines of sorting into training bats and gamers. It basically all deals with the ink dot that MLB started issuing in 2009. And then from there, invested in a CNC lathe, just to keep up with the amount of orders that I'm getting. But everything starts and ends with me. You know, I like to tell people I have three employees, me, myself, and I. You know, I'm sorting all the billets, I'm cutting all the billets, and then I sand all the billets on that guy right there. I stain every bat. I do everything. I use my laser engraver, but I input everything. So it's pretty cool to tell people, you know, I made your bat. You know, even if I have a machine cutting it, you know, it's a lot more precise. It's the exact same model every time. You know, but then if a guy still wants his bat to be hand turned, I can definitely still hand turn. So.
Holy cow. You had mentioned a little bit that when you're going through, you've got your high-end bats, your like gamers, and then your mm-hmm. training bats. A lot of companies these days are going through, and you have some training bats here and there, but like, what all does Berg have to offer when it comes to that? Like, I remember the Camwood. That was like patented and everything like that. And I think that's out of the window now. So like, are you guys able to do anything like that? Do you guys able to do a little customization with it? Like what all is able to be done with a training bat with Berg?
Yeah, absolutely. So my version of the cam, I call the handle balance, same concept. I kind of moved it, that the bubble, right above the hands. I've kind of moved it just to get more balance, you know, being able to, you know, being an ex-college guy, I still know how to hit, you know, everything like that. And before last year, I ran USA Prime up here in Colorado Springs for about 3 years. Before that, it was my own club that I ran for another two. So ran a club for 5 years, but now to get back on track, my version of the cam, flat bats just like this guy. So I have three different versions of flat bats. This one is my barrel paddle. I have one that's a full paddle, so it's flat all the way down to about here. And then I have one that's only cut on one side, and that's going to be my barrel trainer. So three different versions of flats. I have a fungo trainer, longer and lighter. And then I also have overload, underload, one hand, short two hands. I have one, it's called the man stick. You know, a 35, 35 or a 36, 36, a little bit thicker in the handle. You know, some guys won't be able to swing that bat. That bat will swing them. So, and then myself and one of my buddies, we're going on a new adventure. We're actually like going full bore on this to get full protection on it. And so be on the lookout for that within probably the next month. Is hard. So I don't want to say it yet, but I feel like it's going to be, I feel like the training bout market's going to get a big push from what we're doing. And, you know, we feel like that's going to be a nationwide thing. So
let's go, baby. I love it. I love the variety that you're able to add. So one of the things that I really like, and you mentioned earlier, is that with your playing experience, you're able to also make adjustments that you know, like, the players are wanting or looking for, that feel and stuff like that, where I feel like sometimes some of the other places can kind of get, when there are more employees than me, myself, and I, there's always something that has to get checked by somebody, and there's this whole process to do this or do that. Like, for you, if you have somebody come up to you and say, like, hey, I'm looking for something more like this or more like that, like, you're just boom, done. Like, it, you say yes, like, me, myself, and I all agree. They're all on the same page and they're ready to rock and roll. And that's been my favorite thing about being able to work with you. And I mean, we've got all of your bats here in the facility. We're massive use of all of your training bats and stuff like that. And so to be able to get that feedback and to be able to have like an immediate change, like, for me, that's been the biggest blessing in being able to work with you. And then the other biggest blessing, dude, your custom jobs, like your the paint jobs, like the bat knob decals, like, you're a wizard with that stuff. And I would love to hear a little bit more about your details, like the reels that you've put out. For anybody that hasn't seen any of it, you guys can look up on the page right now on the video. We have his TikTok. We have all the socials on there. I still think that chili bat that you made, like, that thing was badass, man. And then, like, you've made the American flag one. Like, I can't even get to start to name all of them, but, like, walk me through a little bit about that customization piece that you kind of do. I think that's your flair, baby.
Yeah, I mean, my college degree is in graphic design. So I think it starts there. You know, being able to take someone's idea and say, I want to put this on a bat, you know. I have one guy, the chili bat that you're referring to. He's a guy down in Pueblo. Pueblo is known for their chili, right? Their chilies. Chili Fest every year, everything like that. And he said, I want chilies all over the barrel. I was like, sweet, I'll make it happen. You know, so I do all my own stencil work. I cut them out of vinyl. I sit here with my airbrush and stain in. Nothing I do is painted. You know, I love wood grain. I love to see wood grain. So I don't want to cover it up. And there's other companies out there that will use a lesser stock of wood, so more blemishes, paint it, and then sell them for high dollar. You know, and I don't believe that, you know, but I'm a black and white guy. What you see is what you get. You know, I always make sure that I'm using a really good piece of wood. Even if it's got a pin knot in it, I'm not going to use it. You know, this is a TG-19, but there's a pin knot right there. You know, I could fill it in and paint over it and sell it, you know, for $170, but my conscience doesn't tell me that that's okay, you know, because I don't know how long that bat's going to last, you know. But being able to do full customizations on bats, you know, stain in guys' logos for their teams, or just have them engraved into the barrel. Like you mentioned, my knob decals, I have 12 different knob decals. You know, Grand Salami, Oppo Taco, Ducks on the Pond, just to name a few. Those are all listed on my website. You know, but what I want to do is when a guy orders a bat from me, I want that to be a one of a kind bat. You know, there's not many places out there of, hey, can you do a, you know, for example, a black and red fade down to, you know, this color with this trademark and everything like that. You know, there's so many possibilities with what I offer. You know, 10 different turning models for game bats, 24 different color options, 22 different trademark color options. We can engrave anything that you want as long as it's not copyrighted or as long as you have permission to use said logo. You know, it just some wild ideas, and that's what's cool about being a one-man show is I don't have to meet with a customer, try to get their ideas, and then take it to, you know, the guy that's staining all the bats and be like, hey, this is what they want, you know, because a lot of things can get lost in translation. So it's awesome making one-of-a-kind stuff for all my customers.
Dude, that's awesome. I absolutely love the entire process. I've been able and lucky enough to be down at your shop multiple times and kind of see the whole process. It's mesmerizing, man. Like it is so cool. And to like see you in your element, just doing your thing, dude, like you're really good at what you do, man. You're an absolute pleasure, to be able to work with, and the impact in the community with just the people that you're working with. It's been awesome. So to be a Berg facility, man, it's an absolute honor. I appreciate you coming on and taking the time to come on the podcast. Do you have any kind of YouTube videos, podcasts, books? Like, is there any inspiration or is there anything that you really would like to have the people kind of tune into a little bit, or you just got anything to plug of your own?
Just follow me on social, man. Keep up with me. I'm doing a lot of cool stuff. I'm getting caught up on my social media. It's kind of hard to make time for that right now, but you know, I had one video on Instagram. I have over 500,000 views on it, which is crazy. A couple other my reels on Instagram, I have another one like 300,000 views. My average is like 30 to 50,000 views. It's kind of broke that algorithm a little bit, but you know, I'm happy to chat with anybody. You know, if you guys want to come down to my shop or anything like that, let me know. You know, I do offer like custom fits. You know, not sure what model you want to swing, I've gone to your website, you have 10 different to choose from. I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know how models, you know, correlate with each other. Let me know. I'll bring you guys down to the shop and we can get you guys custom fitted for one. But, I would definitely say for a young entrepreneur, it's scary. It's scary to not have a paycheck, you know, per se, a guaranteed paycheck. You know, but if that's what you love to do, take the risk. And luckily enough, my wife believes in me. We've changed some things around a little bit, and she's letting me go do this, which is awesome. She believes fully in me that one day I'm going to get out of the garage, you know, so she could park her car back in here. But, you know, but take the risk. You might not succeed very first, but, you know, give it a couple years and keep on keeping on. And, you know, there's a lot of good things that happen when you have faith. So.
I love it, man. Thank you so much for coming on. For everybody, thank you guys for tuning in. I appreciate it, and we will see you guys next week.
Awesome. Thanks, Connor. Appreciate it, man.